Good afternoon. I was told many years ago, never try to compete with the kids. It's always a wonderful sight to see our future lined up and enjoying themselves and feeling a part of this work. It's always a great pleasure for me and my wife to be here at this feast or any feast, because God has given us this opportunity, you know, to be here as He has given you opportunity. He has given us a taste of a wonderful world to come. Here we are enjoying the fruits of this spiritual feast. God has laid a table before us, filled to capacity of spiritual food that will give us life. And for me, every feast has gotten better and better as the years have gone by. As we hear the messages, they bring things to us that remind us of our walk here on this earth. Listening to Mr. Collison, that was just took me to another place. And as I was kind of going over the notes in my head about what I will deliver to you and how these things were matching up and how it is crystal clear that this is the work of our great God. Not of mine, not of you. But we have part in this work now. But for us to continue on, there's always a starting point for all of us. And it was established on a day that your mind was opened. A bookmark was placed in our lives, a point and a place was the beginning of your foundation as a Christian. And for us to succeed in this walk, God tells us that He will give us the means. He tells us about the breastplate, the armor that we wear. But man, with his God-given talents, have undertaken many tasks, have succeeded and failed. But God the Father requires in us the call to have a foundation that will not crumble, not be destroyed by fire, to withstand the attacks of the God of this world. And He will send His agents of destruction to you in ways that we can't imagine. He attacks us while we are awake, and He invades our sleep. But we must weather the tempests of our spiritual lives. Imagine for a moment your home with no foundation. The house that you find comfort in, you have confidence in it, and you have no foundation. What does that bring to mind? The walls will crumble while you sleep. Or would you sleep, thinking the roof will fall in, or the walls will fall down? You see, God the Father, before time, began to consider yours and my foundation as a called child of his coming kingdom. And we read that in Romans 8, in verse 29, when he says, he foreknew us. He foreknew us. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren to come. But you see, brethren, without a foundation, all of that cannot be built. It would be meaningless with the instability of it all. But as we sit here today and drink in the messages that we've heard and it's been brought to us to this moment in time, what can we do to continue to build a foundation that will last? First, we must fellowship with our families and loved ones in the faith. God's plans for us requires a foundation. And that foundation is built on knowledge in our experiences from our days of old. Many of us will reflect on our baptism, because I do remember that I was told that, welcome to the family. Now the hard part begins. The attacks came, many and furiously, in my life. Not only did our Father want to know what kind of commitment that we would have in this family, but Satan wanted to exercise your faith too, because he wants to know. Because you're telling him that you're leaving him for the true Father. And our foundation must be built on that knowledge of our experiences. Our responsibilities become many. We look to the leaders that are in the body to help guide us along the way. Men I looked up to many, many years ago, when I had bright eyes and I saw them, most of them in the twilight of their lives. But yet their faith was strong. They were still teaching. And it moved me that they had the perseverance of 30, 40 years of walking this earth and crying loud about building a foundation. You see, this feast is a prime example of our love and dedication to God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and what is to come. All we have experienced these past days is a rehearsal. And God has made it possible for us the call to establish a foundation that is of God and that will last forever. His words were the start being delivered by the prophets. And second, he sent only his son for the ultimate example of how a Christian foundation should be built and maintained. We ought to enter the kingdom with our foundations intact, strong, mirror image of our elder brother who walked upon this earth. God requires that our foundation is solid in every aspect. Anything short of that strength will not stand, as he tells us. The fire is coming. Because ultimately, in the end, those men whose names are written in this earth will be burned in this earth. Because before God the Father will come to this orb, this earth will be thoroughly cleansed because it will be burned. And all the past works will go with it. We must build on the rock. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus Christ is our sure foundation. Isaiah 28 verse 16, a sure and precious stone he is. We look to him for guidance to build a foundation that will last eternity. Question for you, what must we do to build and strengthen these foundations that will not be shaken or destroyed? Because God says heaven and earth will be shaken and all that is shaken will be removed. Many of our spiritual endeavors, everyday endeavors committed to us over the years, must continue to do so in a manner, in the length, in the difficulty in doing them. But we have the strength that God gives us each and every day. The things I will mention to you today are not new. There are basic things that we have been encouraged to do over our many years by our pastors and ministers. And once that foundation has been established, we can assure ourselves and God the Father that we love his way. And nothing will deter us from doing his will. Today's sermon is about your Christian walk. Your Christian walk, and about how you preserve that, what you've been entrusted with. Number one is care. Do you care for your Christian walk? Paying close attention to it. This is why God tells us to watch continually. Because the God of this world will not attack you head on. He is sneaky. He will come around the corner. He will use your family. He will use your brothers and sisters. And in your care, you pray. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is a starting point. Getting on your knees. And a lot of times for me, it is 2 o'clock in the morning as I lay in my bed when I can't sleep. And I speak to my Father about things, about life, about my intentions, that they line up with His. Meditation is another good form to stay connected. Psalm 119 and verse 97. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And I've learned something from that scripture, being that we live not only here in this city, the 4 million plus, but in a small city of maybe 100,000 where we're from, and you get in your car and there's road rage. There's people wanting to be other places, and they want to push your buttons. And they do. You see more screaming, finger pointing in the confines of that car than any other place on the face of this earth. So what about you when you're cut off in traffic? What is that first thought that goes through your mind? Is it of the world or would Christ say or do? I have a little process that I go through. It's where when it happens, I think nothing. That's a blank slate right there. I don't give Satan time to reach into my puny little head and provoke me to do things. I just stop. I just stop. No thought. And when there is a thought, he must have an emergency. He needs to be somewhere. God says we need to get a hold of our minds. Because if we're to stay focused on him and not be wavered, this is the beginning of staying strong in the faith. Fasting. Fasting is a good tool. In Joel 2 and verse 12, it says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with your heart, with your fasting, with your weeping and mourning." When we fast, there are things going on with us. And we really turn the matter over to God in a way that physically and spiritually changes us. If we allow these processes that God will put into our lives to stay close to Him. Fasting is one of the good ones to do. Study in your Christian walk, building that foundation, making sure it's shored up, making sure you don't have termite damage. That is not crumbling from within, and you don't actually see it. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 25, it says, I applied my heart to know, to search, to seek out wisdom and the reason of things. To know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. We keep our heads firmly in this book. The world can't understand it. It is your handbook, written for you. You understand it. They cannot. And so this is where the twists and turns come. And the denial that this book is just some fictitious historical event that somebody in their convoluted mind put together. It's not real because it doesn't apply to the world around us. It's real. It is real. In continuing your walk, fellowship, which we must do. You can't do that in your living room. You can't do that off by yourself. You must have eye contact. That's what fellowship is, to speak, to hold, and to know who your neighbor is. Because in the God family, no words need to be spoken. You will hear God once you're plugged in. You will hear his very thoughts. You will know his intentions. And you will know what you need to do. And that is the fellowship in the body of his family. We're learning that now, physically, to bring ourselves together. I know that many of us, and I was one, didn't care to be around people. But it's a lifelong process of learning to do that, to bring it together, to sit and talk, break bread. Be as one, iron sharpening iron, when we have these ideas that are not quite right. And Mr. Collison was mentioning about the Sabbath. This too, we must keep. Starting point for all of us. Now, there may be situations where it can't be kept. But if there is a place where God has placed his name, we are to go there. And not use the excuses, I worked too long this week, I need a break, my feet hurt. It's about the day that he'd given us to be fed. And that's you, if you sit at that table and you push back and say, I don't want to be fed today. And that's on you. But God is teaching us not to push back. At every opportunity to enjoy what he has to feed us. Being at this feast. Now, Some have come here at great expense. But it's worth it. It is worth it. Because we are rehearsing to step into another realm. Well, God will give us the tools to be in his family, to bring it together. Now, all of these things I mention are just words until they become action. They become a practice where you will execute and not just words in one ear and out the other. God says, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6. God tells us that by these things, we come into his presence to know him and to love him. He wants us to know him to actually love the way he lives. Putting on that armor, making sure it fits. The breastplate is not sliding from one side to the other. The armor that you put on is custom built for you. And God says finally in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, he says, be strong in the power of his might. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because we cannot fight him. Cannot by any means. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the things you can't see. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is where our fight is enjoined. And God says, therefore, take up the whole armor that you'll be able to withstand in that evil day, and he will come. He will come in that day like a whirlwind. Will your house still stand? Will your foundation hold you up? Because we must continue. When we build on it, you have to nurture it. You have to feed it. And some of the things I mentioned about prayer and study and meditation, they bring us that much closer to our great God. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. The dead will rise first. So those who have committed their lives to loving God, loving his way of life, they rest. declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, says God. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. We can be assured that if we continue to stay on track and continue, we will sin, yes. We will fall down. But we learn to get up. We'll ask for forgiveness. To ask God to wipe away that blot. That I don't want my name to be erased from that book. And God says, indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. And when I call to them, they stand up. All that marvelous stuff that you look at out there and that is so beautiful but yet so dangerous for us. God created those hosts that are out there. They all have a name. And he says, when I call them, they stand up together. But building that foundation. In Matthew 25, verse 34, it says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see here, brethren, our foundation must be firm. Built on the principles of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Worthy to be included in the kingdom to come. With a solid foundation, the invitation extended by God, and Jesus Christ is sure for us to cross over and enter that kingdom. You must have that foundation. A properly maintained, like a beautiful garden, meticulously manicured. God the Father and Jesus Christ has given us the tools to properly maintain this Christian foundation, that you may walk on this earth and that your light will shine that he has poured in you, that we pour out to the world. And now we'll leave you with one scripture that fills us with hope from our Father who loves us so much. In Luke 12 and verse 32, Luke 12 and verse 32, it says, do not fear, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.